Well, you already took a shot at me, so I'm not even talking
not
to you.
That,
hi, Dan. Good morning. Good
what
to
up,
see
Miles?
You. I like
well.
This whole
you
suit.
Well.
Looking very
thank
nice.
You. Thank you. I had to obviously had to pick up the slack for somebody this morning. So
pick up the
yeah,
slack.
Yeah. Thank
wrong
you
with
for
me?
Carrying
What's wrong
us.
With me? Dan, let me tell you something right now. You talk a lot of smack. You see, first of all, your wife helps you because we know the wife is who take care of you. That's
yeah.
why you
yeah.
dress the way you dress.
I'm unapologetic about
okay?
that.
Okay. And you know, you got yeah. the whole beautiful family
he
there
does.
And all of that stuff.
His
I
little
will
daughter,
remind
my
you.
Goodness.
I will remind you. Not only do I look good, I'm in my 50s. And I look this way. Come see me when you get to that point, my brother. You always look good, so
thank
forget you.
You. Okay? I was going to say you. Humility never goes out of style, but you were kind of nice there.
You got a Hanes t-shirt on underneath. I'm good.
You know what?
Oh,
it worked. It worked.
My.
You know,
hey, look, no, it's Fruit
Hanes
of the Loom.
A good thing. Hanes
Fruit
is a good
of the
thing.
Loom.
Or Fruit of the Looms. I like both. I like both.
That's fair.
Man,
that's
I
fair.
Good
you, product.
The three-pack at Walmart.
That's
always
right.
A good
you're
thing.
Damn right. You're damn right.
I actually
Fruit of the Loom.
I love those men's t-shirts with the V-necks and the tube socks.
That's right.
Yeah, all right, let's go. We got a good one tonight, gentlemen. Cowboys go to New Orleans to face the Saints. So, Dallas will be without their coach as Mike McCarthy entered the NFL's COVID-19 protocol Monday. Defensive coordinator Dan Quinn will serve as the team's interim coach. The Cowboys have lost three of their last four after starting the season 6-1, and they're getting healthier on both sides of the ball. Wide receivers Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb both expected to return, and on defense, DeMarcus Lawrence is expected back for the first time since week one. Oh, and Stephen A., Taysom Hill will be earning that new paycheck. Hill will start tonight instead of Trevor Siemian. Dan, you're up first. Does Dak need to step up the most tonight for Dallas?
Absolutely. Dak Prescott is the most important person tonight, and he needs to step up the most. This is a team, Molly, that you said lost three out of the last four games. And in those four games, all right, so two of those games, Dak Prescott has thrown for less than 5 yards per attempt. Mm. He has not played well in about a month. And if you look at the team that he's playing against, the New Orleans Saints, and that defense, in their last month, first of all, Buffalo scored 31 on him last week, and Josh Allen threw for four touchdowns. 2 weeks ago, Philly scored 40 on him. The Philadelphia Eagles put a 40-burger on the Saints defense. And Tom Brady threw for 350 yards and four touchdowns. Matt Ryan threw for 350 yards and four touchdowns. Dak Prescott's got a ball out tonight. Dak Prescott, even if you go back and watch that Raiders tape, he didn't play that great against the Raiders. That wasn't an incredible performance. He needs to go play really, really good football. They paid him all that money, and I know people have been out. I know CeeDee's been out, and I know Amari's been out, and I think the health on the perimeter does matter. But again, this goes back to when you choose to pay that quarterback that much money, I need you to step up when I need you to step up. I need you to go play well when a receiver's out or when a tackle is out. And that hasn't happened over three of the last 4 weeks. In the last three games or last four games, Dak's got six touchdowns and three interceptions. That's not good enough. So tonight, I need to go see, I want to see Dak Prescott, the same guy that I saw really the first eight games of the season, the same guy that I saw week one against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when I was like, my goodness, that's the best game I've ever seen Dak Prescott play. No matter what happens tonight with the Saints offense and Taysom Hill and the Cowboys defense and Amari Cooper coming back, whatever, I need to see Dak Prescott go play like the $140-plus million quarterback that the Cowboys paid him to go be.
That is an asinine take. You should be ashamed of yourself for giving that take. You didn't see the Dallas Cowboy receivers dropping passes all of these last several weeks? You didn't see, I mean, how many passes did you count they dropped? I recall
probably
you
like
bringing
five.
Don't give me that. Five was more than five. Okay, whether it was Schultz, whether it was CeeDee Lamb when he was out there. The list went Wilson. The list went on and on.
We he's saw the only plenty quarterback that deals with drop passes?
Excuse me. Zip it. Did I listen to you speak? Did
okay.
I listen to you speak? I thought I listened to you speak. Didn't I do that? Now it's my turn. We saw numerous receivers dropping passes from Dak Prescott. First of all, even though, like you said, it was more than a month ago, he did have a good game against New England. Didn't play against Minnesota because obviously he got injured that game. When they dropped 43, he didn't play a good game that game. When they scored 33 last week, he was god-awful? No. Now, obviously, we have a situation where he could play better in a couple of those games. Clearly, it was a bad performance against the Denver Broncos. There is no doubt about that. We get all of that. They lost to the Raiders, 36-33, but you still could have done better. But we pointed to the drop passes. And as far as I'm concerned, here's my whole point. Has Dak Prescott been awful? No. Could he be better? Yes. But to me, the focus should be on Amari Cooper. Who the hell missed the game because he came down with COVID? Who the hell is the dude that Jerry Jones said it ain't about me, it's about we? Who's the dude that elected not to be vaccinated, knowing that could lead you to be more susceptible to catching the Rona that ultimately would lead you to being out of these games? Who's the guy that signed for $100 million and only got 544 yards receiving this year? I think it's 544. I'm sorry, it's 583 on 44 receptions. Who's that dude? That would be Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper at no time this year. At no time, and we all know he can ball. We all know he's no scrub. But at no time this year did any of us look at Amari Cooper and say, excuse me, one of the top receivers in the National Football League, that's Amari Cooper. We haven't said that about him because we haven't seen that kind of performance from him. We've seen a few great plays at a time, but we haven't seen an overall great performance from him this season. I understand that Dak Prescott's getting the money. I understand that you're the quarterback of America's team. You're the face of the franchise. I understand that disgusting, nauseated fan base that makes me want to throw up every time I see one of them sorry Cowboy fans. I understand the expectations that have been thrown on Dak Prescott. I've even started off the season talking about how there's immense pressure on him. But I can't ignore the injuries. I can't ignore the fact that Ezekiel Elliott has been compromised. The offensive line, what hasn't been healthy. Receivers are dropping passes or missing games or both. And I got a receiver in Amari Cooper tonight on Thursday Night Football that's coming back because you know what? You got exposed to the Rona, and as a result of it, because you ain't vaccinated, you had to have the owner going on radio talking about, it ain't about me, it's about we. Again, Amari Cooper can't do anything without Dak throwing him the football, because just like a quarterback can't throw it to himself, a receiver got to catch the ball after the quarterback throws it to him. So Dak Prescott obviously has got to get it done. But when I talk about an individual that I'm looking in terms of placing the onus on his shoulders to step up and remind somebody he's worthy of his money, I'm looking at Amari Cooper, because Dak Prescott, excuse me, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about him as an MVP candidate.
Exactly.
That's my point.
So until a couple weeks ago, we were talking about Dak Prescott as an MVP, and they've lost 3 out of 4. So it's time to go play like an MVP. It's so funny to hear you sit here and rattle off, whether you phrase them as reasons or excuses, why Dak Prescott might not be playing as well. But you don't do that for other quarterbacks, Stephen A. You don't give other quarterbacks
me?
Reasons why. Yes,
me?
You. You're sitting
you're
here going.
You're accusing me
yes.
of doing that?
Yes. What? I'm not accusing you. I'm telling you that you're doing it. And here's the thing. Amari Cooper tonight could go for 8 catches for 110 yards, and they could still lose the game. He could still show
That's
up and
not
play.
The point. That's
the,
not
the question
point.
Is, do the Cowboys need Dak Prescott to step up the most?
Dak Prescott needs to play better.
Dak
Prescott could throw for 500 yards, and they could still find an excuse to lose. These are the Cowboys we're talking about. What I'm saying to you is this, how I'm answering the question in terms of the Cowboys needing Dak to step up. I got you on that. What I'm saying is the person they need to step up the most,
right,
to me, who the eye of the storm should be on, is Amari Cooper.
They ain't paying Amari Cooper. They didn't pay Amari Cooper.
Give him $100 million.
They didn't pay Amari Cooper $100 million to win games. They paid Amari Cooper that money to help them win games. They paid Dak Prescott $140 million for the bottom line to be the reason they win football games.
All right, let's leave it there. Dallas is favored by 5.5. And Dan, to your point, Stephen A., you don't make excuses for Lamar Jackson, and that's where I want to go next. Action Jackson and the Ravens may be sitting pretty at 8-3 atop of the crowded AFC North, but it hasn't been pretty or easy. Many of these games coming down to the final possession last week, certainly too close for comfort. Jackson pulling off the win despite throwing 4 picks, but Lamar sees the blessing in the suffering.
I let it fester. I need to feel it. I need to feel that pain. Now, that's pain right there, you know. No excuses, you know. Like, that was just a bad performance. 4 interceptions. Hope that never, ever happened again. Not ever. Bad passes, inaccurate, underthrown passes. That's all I see now. Bad reads. I look like a rookie.
All I have to say is that man says all the right things.
Yeah,
like, it is so hard to not root for Lamar Jackson. The Ravens play your Steelers Sunday, Stephen A. Are Lamar's Ravens legit AFC threats, Dan?
No. No, 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 no. This is a good team that's been, you know, their wins have covered a lot of their flaws. I think they're kind of hanging on by the skin of their teeth, so to speak. You talked about all those close margins, Molly. They got 6 wins by 1 possession differential. That's the most in the NFL. Their point differential is plus 23. They're 8-3, and their point differential is plus 23. That's unheard of in the NFL. And I think because Lamar's performance, we've kind of forgotten the decimation of injury that this kind of football team has had to deal with. They've had 14 different offensive line combinations. 14. Again, you are not supposed to be sitting at 8-3 when you have to deal with that. Their tailbacks average 3.9 yards per carry. 3.9 yards per carry for the Baltimore Ravens tailbacks. Again, I just don't think they're going to survive. I think that we've seen the best version of them, so to speak. They are so dependent on Lamar Jackson playing at such a remarkable, kind of indescribable level. I don't trust them. I trust the Patriots significantly more as a threat. I trust the Colts more as a threat. I trust the Chiefs more as a threat. I trust the Bengals more as a threat. I think this team's dealing with way too many injuries.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up because here's the deal. I disagree with you because, number one, I think there could be more than one threat. Number two, and more importantly, I think that by default they're a threat because we can't definitively say anything about the AFC. Kansas City looked like they were wet in the bed until their defense finally acted like they knew what they were doing, and they appeared to be relatively decent, and as a result, they're in first place in the AFC West. The Indianapolis Colts are a Carson Wentz mistake from being home in the very first playoff round. We all know this. We all know. Listen. The man can play. I'm not like some other people who called the end of his career and all of this other stuff. He went from Philadelphia to Indy.
Yeah.
And I said, excuse me, I haven't given up on Carson Wentz. I know the brother can play. It's just that some of the boneheaded mistakes that he has made are inexplicable. They're undeniable. And we can't sit up here and act like they are. And so it is what it is. And so when you look at it from that perspective, and then you take into account the Bengals, well, guess what? They're just getting here. We'll see what they do, and we'll see how consistent they be. We look at the New England Patriots. As great as they've been, and their defense is real, and we know the exceptional coaching that they're achieving, and we understand who Mac Jones is because he's a national champion, a reigning national champion, by the way, who's the rookie quarterback for the New England Patriots. He is still a rookie. And so we combine all of that with the mercurial skills of a Lamar Jackson. To me, the only way you can say the Ravens are not a legitimate threat is if you can definitively say, you know what, they ain't winning no damn playoff game. They going home. They don't even belong in the playoffs. And the second they get there, they're going home. And nobody would say that about a team quarterbacked by Lamar Jackson because of the electrifying skills that he has. Now, he has something to prove in the postseason as well, which is something I never hesitate to call him out on. He's got one playoff victory. He's lost 3 games. We understand that he's looked horrific by and large in postseason performances, even though he had a pretty good one against Tennessee last year. But in the end, what it comes down to is that when you look at the AFC, there's no definitive powerhouse to fear. Everybody is up for grabs. And when we look at the NFC and we look at Tampa and we look at Green Bay, okay, and to a lesser degree, Arizona, and of course we can't ignore the Cowboys and Arizona, we look at teams that we say, you know, potential Super Bowl champions. When we look at the AFC, we're literally scratching our heads wondering who the hell is coming out of the AFC, because even with the great Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, their offense hasn't looked the way we're accustomed to seeing them look over the previous 2 seasons, and we're learning more about the other teams as we go along. Even with Buffalo, we'll see what they're made of come Monday Night Football. Bills Mafia, Bills Nation, the Buffalo Bills. I can't wait for this Monday night because we're going to find out about Josh Allen. I don't care about, you know, Davis being out, you know, with his injury. I understand that's a big deal. Please don't get me wrong. But I'm just talking about, it's how you play and how you go down if you're going to go down. We understand who the Patriots are. We understand what the Bills were aiming for. You got all of these pieces, okay? And you going to just let a rookie quarterback come in and guide the New England Patriots to first place in their division after you've been, you know, the fair-weather stepchild for 2 decades? Or we going to find out about the Buffalo Bills? So that's all I'm saying. A lot of the AFC is up for grabs right now.
I'm with you on that, Stephen A., but I think what you're missing is, if we go back to last year's Super Bowl, what's really the fundamental reason why the Chiefs lost that game?
Offensive line and a toe injury to Patrick Mahomes. Well, let me say this.
Because the injuries.
Let me say this. That's why they lost. How they lost. We don't know definitively if they still would have ended up losing anyway.
Sure, sure. But, like, we could sit here and say the injuries on their offensive line had a massive part to do with why. And that's where, if we're talking about the teams in the AFC that we think are really good, we could put the Ravens in that conversation with the Patriots, with the Bills, with the Colts, with the Chiefs, with the Bengals. But the difference between the Ravens and every one of those other teams is the injuries. And at the end of the day in the NFL, we often can look in December and January and go, okay, who's still playing good? It's the team that has their guys. And Baltimore, again, I think is just the winning, sitting at 8-3 has covered up their I'll be honest with you. If like I said, they got 6 wins by single points in 1 possession games. If they were 3-3 in those games, they would be sitting at 5-6. And I would sit here going, they're 5-6 because of the injuries, not because Lamar hasn't played well enough. And I just believe, because that's what the NFL has shown us for 4 decades, that the healthy teams are the ones that win down the stretch. Okay. And the Ravens just aren't healthy.
They're not healthy, but at the end of the day, they're 8-3. And they've got to win over the Indianapolis Colts. And they've beaten the Cleveland Browns and a few other teams. Not that Cleveland is much this year. But in the end, what I'm talking about is the mercurial skills of a Lamar Jackson on any given Sunday in a postseason. That's a terrifying threat to go against.
To be clear, you're saying the Ravens are a threat, not the threat.
Correct.
Yes, because it's still wide open.
Yes.
Okay, so, Dan, everyone thinks of you as, you know, an NFL analyst extraordinaire, but you also moonlight on weekends calling college football games. So let's go to college now. Big news there. Notre Dame may have their new head man, Marcus Freeman, leading candidate for the highly coveted position. No deal has been finalized and several steps remain before the current Irish defensive coordinator can be formally announced as the new head coach. The school did announce Wednesday that their offensive coordinator, Tommy Rees, will remain in the role for the 2022 season. Meanwhile, yesterday, Notre Dame's winningest coach of all time, Brian Kelly, introduced as head coach of the LSU Tigers. They are 2 years removed from a national title. Kelly received $95 million in a decade-long deal. Congrats to him. Here's the man of the hour.
There was no plan in place as I entered the 2021 season that I was, you know, looking for another opportunity. I had a great football team that we were developing, but you know, when you get an opportunity to talk to Scott Woodward and he presents a clear vision of the plan here and the opportunity, it was an exciting vision for me to look at. And as I got a chance to, you know, speak to more people about this opportunity, I just felt it was something that I had to take on.
I find this question very interesting. It's different cultures, different demographics. Stephen A., what's the more premier job? Is it Notre Dame or LSU?
To me, it's LSU by a mile. And I'll explain to you in a minute what I mean by that. I want to say this, and more importantly, and Dan, feel free to comment about this once your turn rolls around. I'm very proud that Brian Kelly left Notre Dame to go to LSU. I have no issue with it. I think Lincoln Riley going to USC is a phenomenal thing for college football. But I also want this to be heard. You see how these coaches just get up and leave for a better opportunity? I don't want to hear anything about restricting kids' movement and kids' abilities to do the same. I know they got the transfer portal and all of that stuff now. But I'm just saying, for the record, one of the things that folks lamented for decades when it came to college sports is the ability that coaches and administrators had to do what they do, but the kids were restricted from doing so. This is why it's so important that we pay attention to how kids are treated on a collegiate level, because they should have that opportunity to do the same thing the adults have an opportunity to do as well. Now, having said that, let me say this. Again, LSU by a mile. Notre Dame is a fantastic institution. It's a big-time job, national television contract, NBC. I get all of that. I understand all of that. They're going to make the college football playoffs. They've got a chance to do that. But when we talking national championships, you understand what I'm saying? They ain't in LSU's class. They don't have an opportunity as far as I'm concerned. to get the quality, the number of quality players that an LSU has a chance to get, that the Alabamas have a chance to get, that the Georgias have a chance to get. Talk about SEC, man. Talk about SEC. You understand what I'm saying? I can't sneeze at that. This LSU we talking about here. Now, I don't need Swaggoo or Ryan Clark or anybody else to tell me about LSU and how much of a big-time job that is and the pool of talent that they have in that area, which, by the way, Brian Kelly has recruited in that area, by the way, and well from what I understand. I don't pay as much attention to it as the Paul Feinbaums and Heather Dinich's and everybody else. I get all of that. But what I'm saying to you, paying attention to it, you think about LSU, Joe Burrow just delivered them a national championship 3 years ago. You look at what comes to the table in terms of the talent that they've had. Nick Saban once coached there. I mean, you got Ed Orgeron won a national title there, for crying out loud. The list goes on and on. And they fired him because he needs to go. It's time to go, man. Time to go. But the point is that it's LSU. It's the SEC. It's that part of the country where, I mean, the talent pool there, and then the opportunity to be in the SEC, and Brian Kelly, 60 years old, willing to go up against Nick Saban and Kirby Smart and those boys. I got mad love and respect for the decision. He could have took the easy way out. Notre Dame is a damn good job. A damn good job. And I'm hoping my brother Marcus Freeman gets that. That's a big-time conversation that we'll have if indeed the reports are true and he ends up getting that job. But as big of a job as Notre Dame is, and it ain't a small job, I know that, Dan. It ain't LSU, bro. It ain't LSU.
You're right. LSU is a great job. Notre Dame is galaxies better as a job.
No way.
Stephen A., you are out of it. Is Notre Dame.
Nope.
It's Notre Dame. Going to coach at Notre Dame is the Yankees. It's the Red Sox. It's the Dodgers. It's the Lakers. It's the Celtics. It's Madison Square Garden. I've watched you on your show talk about the Knicks and Madison Square Garden, and it's still the Knicks and Madison Square Garden. It is Notre Dame. They are making movies about LSU. All right, they're making movies about Notre Dame.
How old were those movies?
Let me ask you this question, because I'm gonna totally nullify your argument here. Okay. You're a young man in California, right? You're in California. You go play at Modern Day High School, one of the best in the area, and you get an offer from LSU or USC. How real is that offer for LSU for you?
Compared to your California,
and you're getting an offer from LSU or in USC.
Well,
how real is that
real
offer for you?
It's very real. It's SEC. When you talk about it's SEC, it's one of the premier programs in SEC.
Nah, Stephen A. You're a Cali kid, and you're getting an offer from Lincoln Riley at USC and Brian Kelly at LSU. You're like, oh, cool. No.
You're lying. You know why you're lying? You know, because you know the weather has a lot to do with that.
Okay, now let me ask you this. You're that same kid from California. You're the same kid from California, and you get that offer from USC, and now Notre Dame comes calling. That offer from Notre Dame is going to be much more relevant to you, because that's the thing. Notre Dame hits all corners. That Notre Dame offer matters way more across the country than an LSU offer. And by the way, Stephen A., you're talking about getting the opportunity to play against Nick Saban and Kirby Smart. Like, that's a cool thing.
If you're a winner, if you're striving to be a winner, you got to see Nick every year.
You got to see Jimbo Fisher every year.
What, you scared?
You got to see Lane Kiffin every. No,
that's but it's, the point. You
it makes
want
the
that.
Path harder. It makes the path harder. That's the reality. Stephen A., LSU has been in the college football playoff one time with a historically great team. That coach is gone. He is gone already. Mm-hmm. So what's the better job? The place that can go into any living room in America and say, we are Notre Dame. We are Notre Dame. Who, by the way, again, the narrative about Notre Dame is, well, they kind of hang on their past. Notre Dame's a top five program for the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This is a...
You know what? That is a deceitful statistic. When the 11 national championships, when the last time Notre Dame won a national championship?
Long time ago.
Thank you very much. Get that off the board. Get it off the board right now. We don't give a damn about the 11 championships.
How about the bottom
forever? When it's
been
forever.
Let me ask you this question.
Let me just read, Dan Orlovsky.
It's Notre Dame.
Listen, stay with me. Because if I'm a big-time athlete, right? If I'm a big-time athlete and I aspire to go pro one day, right? We talk about Notre Dame, right? Because it's not just where you play, it's who they play against. All of those things we pay attention to, right? So you got the independence, you on national television, and Rick, all right, that's fair enough. That's visibility, all right, that's got you there. Let me read you who their competition was. Just work with me here for a second. They're 11-1 this year. They're 11-1, right? Yeah. This is Notre Dame's schedule this year. Florida State, Toledo, Purdue, Wisconsin, Cincinnati. All right, Cincinnati's here. Lost to Cincinnati, lost against Cincinnati.
All those but Toledo are real competitions.
Right, you know, you say Toledo, Florida State. Really, Florida State? Yeah. Really, really? Florida State, I'm sorry.
Florida State good.
I'm sorry, excuse me, really? That's
Florida
how y'all feel about Florida State?
Yeah,
don't move me. Don't move me
keep
anymore.
Going. Keep reading
don't
them. Move I want to hear the rest.
Virginia Tech, USC, North Carolina,
Black
Navy,
Tech, USC.
Virginia, Georgia Tech, Stanford. I'm just saying, when you talk about that compared to the SEC, really?
Listen, I'm
really?
Not.
Pac-12, I'm not, Big 12,
no,
I mean, come
asking,
on, man.
The question isn't, is the SEC or independent schedule better?
I'm just saying to you that Notre Dame is big of a job. It's a big job. I'm not trying to knock them, but it ain't
it's
LSU.
It's Notre Dame. Okay.
Notre Dame is not what it used to be in that regard.
I don't want to hear you. I don't want to be sitting at home with my wife and my kids listening to Stephen A. say it's the New York Knicks or it's Madison Square Garden. I don't want to hear that anymore.
Hold on, wait a minute. You can hear that from me. I'm a fan starving for a championship. I don't walk around talking about the New York Knicks like they're champions, bro. I don't bring them in the championship equation. I'm proud they're relevant. I'm crawling before I walk. I'm reasonable with my expectations about the New York Knicks. When I say we here, I ain't trying to sit up there and say we won the championship.
It's
I'm saying we're relevant again for the first time because we've been irrelevant. I am the guy that went on national television as a Knicks fan years ago and said the only thing recognizable about Madison Square Garden are the rats running around in Penn Station. I said that. So don't tell me that, I was a Knicks fan and I ignore it. No, I call it like I see it.
But where'd
Notre Dame ain't what it used to be.
Year?
Excuse me?
Where'd you pick the Knicks to finish this year? That
second round.
Jay Williams.
Get around the first round. Get out of the first round.
By the way, Stephen A.
I didn't pick them to win a title. What y'all talking about?
By the way, Stephen A., you can talk about Notre Dame's schedule in the SEC. They got a kid at safety who's going to be a top 10 pick in the NFL draft next year. They got a first round tight end. They got a top two round. So you, what,
I'm
was,
not
the,
saying that,
what
I'm
was the
saying,
point of bringing up the schedule?
That, did I say they don't have a
team? What was the point of bringing up the schedule?
My point to you is that they're not going to get. Brian Kelly left because he knows the talent that he's going to produce at LSU could potentially deliver him a national championship. He knew that wasn't going to happen at Notre Dame.
You know what? This is
hold up.
This is what I feel like we're arguing right now. Recency versus history.
Yes.
Because I know how storied Notre Dame is, the fighting. I get what you're saying, Dan. But Stephen A. saying, like, right now, at this moment, you want to win this year. So it's almost like we're debating two different things.
But I think and your point is valid, but I would say this. In the last 5 years, Notre Dame has been a better program over that five-year span than LSU has.
LSU had a
national championship with one of the greatest teams ever.
Yeah.
Then they fired their coach. Notre Dame, yes, historically has those national championships. But I'm just like, this is a top five team, program-wise and team.
Listen,
they haven't won a national championship.
We'll have more later.
Let me encapsulate it with this.
Notre Dame,
their program is about being competitive, being in the national spotlight, and getting to the playoffs. Brian Kelly left because Brian Kelly, in the twilight of his career, wants a legitimate shot at the national title. And he ain't getting it staying at Notre Dame. Period.
All right.
Guys,
we'll have
and
more
he
got to
go
later.
Through Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher,
Lane Kiffin,
and Kirby
Smart. Gentlemen,
we have to get into commercial break. We will revisit this later.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast.
Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Well, thank you. On this day in Smistery, I won't even try to do the accent. 2 years ago today, you just heard it. Stephen A. proclaimed for the first time that Baker Mayfield has more commercials than wins this season. Not much better. As Cleveland is 6-6, bottom of their division, quarterback has been under the microscope of late as he looks for a new long-term contract. He's certainly struggled at times dealing with a myriad of injuries. But to be fair, since week two, he's been battling a torn labrum to his left non-throwing shoulder. But even if the dog pound is losing hope in their signal caller, GM Andrew Berry is not. Andrew, what do you expect from Baker?
The reality is, like, he's worked through injuries no different than, you know, other players on our roster. You know, but I know, you know, he expects of himself, and we expect, you know, him, you know, whenever he's on the field to perform at a capable level, at a winning level. And we expect him to play his best football down the stretch here after the bye.
All right. So Baker ranks 26, Dan, I want you to hear this, in QBR with a rating of 37.9, well below where he finished in 2020 at 66.5. Dan, do you believe Baker can be a franchise quarterback? And when I say franchise quarterback, I mean he could take his team to a Super Bowl.
I do. I don't necessarily believe in the phrase franchise quarterbacks. I believe in tiers of quarterbacks. I've said them before. You're either a quarterback your team wins because of, you're a quarterback your team wins with, you're a quarterback your team wins in spite of, or you're a quarterback that your team loses because of. I think Baker is a quarterback that you can win a Super Bowl with. I know that this season hasn't kind of evidenced that, but I would say to this, number one, the injuries have to be a part of the conversation. A quarterback has a torn left labrum in his left shoulder. He's also got foot, back, everything beat up injuries. Number two, there's only been really 1 year in Baker's career that he's been healthy with competency around him. There's been a lot of distractions this season. There's been a lot of disappointment, and the injuries have played its part. His rookie year, then his second year with Freddie Kitchens. Last year's the only year that he was healthy and there was competency around him, and you watched him lead his team to the playoffs and get a playoff win. So I think he could be that quarterback that they win with. I do not, listen, there's about a handful of guys in the NFL that are quarterbacks you win because of, that more often than not, they are going to cover up whatever fundamental kind of franchise flaw that you have or injuries. And then there's 8 to 10 guys that are going to play really good football dependent upon who their play caller is and how healthy they are and how healthy the offensive line of pieces are around them. I think Baker can be in that 8 to 10 grouping. I think that's just the reality. Listen, I'll go back to last week's game, Molly, and I said this on Monday. The Browns offensively are a mess. And if you think Baker's at the top of that, you are not watching the same game as I am. Their offensive line did not play well. Their right tackle got hurt. Their left tackle played the worst game of his career as a Brown. Nobody is getting open on offense. There's no rhythm to it. So I ain't saying Baker's playing great. What I'm saying is Baker has proven that he could be a guy that you win a lot of games with.
You know, it's...
sometimes it's just bad because, you know, y'all put me in a position, man, where I look so mean, you know, and it's just not fair. You know, I don't mind. I mean, listen. You know, they call me the Grinch. They call me a lot
you
of different things. You know, it's all right. You know, I'm a very happy Grinch. I tell you that much. I'm good. Let me say this to y'all, man. You know good and damn well Baker Mayfield ain't no damn Super Bowl quarterback. Why don't you stop that nonsense? You know he ain't leading no team to no Super Bowl, Dan Orlovsky. You know that. I'm going to be calm. I'm not going to raise my voice. I'm trying to be cool. Okay. I'm trying to be very, very cool. Okay. He's not that dude. He's not that dude. When I pointed out that he had more progressive commercials than wins, I was factually correct.
This argument.
I was factually correct. When he changed up and he won games, I gave him credit for it. What I'm saying to you is this. Can he be a starting quarterback in this league? Yes. Can a team win with Baker Mayfield as your starting quarterback? Okay. Can he be the reason, the thing that leads you to a Super Bowl championship? Hell no. That ain't him. Now, I understand your point. Left tackle, right tackle, we get all that. Bad left tackle injury, right tackle was awful. I get all of that. I understand.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm looking at.
Okay.
Give me a quarterback. A better than average quarterback, and tell them you got Kareem Hunt, you got Nick Chubb, you got Njoku, who, by the way, needed to make that play on his own last week to get
you're
the first down.
Your argument.
To get the first down on his own. I understand that. There are certain plays. But what I'm saying is this. Here's the part that I have a problem with, because I know that you can I'm being serious, Dan. You could be on the board and you could highlight and dissect some of the things that go wrong, and I would never dispute that because you're excellent at that stuff. I just think you're a master at leaving certain things out. For example, they bring up that Baker Mayfield has had three coaches since he's been playing in the NFL. Well, whose fault was that? You had Hugh Jackson. Obviously, we ain't going to brag about his record. You insisted on Freddie Kitchens, and management stupidly went with your rookie novice self and your opinion at the time, being Baker Mayfield. They should have ignored his behind and brought in, whether it's Kevin Stefanski or somebody else earlier, there should have never been a Freddie Kitchens experiment. Then you get, obviously, Kevin Stefanski, who did a hell of a job last year. This year, not so much, albeit due to injuries, and injuries legitimately to Baker Mayfield. We talk about Odell Beckham Jr. being gone. We lamented the relationship that existed between Odell Beckham Jr. and Baker Mayfield on the field. Baker Mayfield harbors no responsibility for that. We see receivers not being open. We didn't always say that about them. They were open before when Baker Mayfield was completing, 59% of his passes his second year, 62% of his passes last year, 62% now. We weren't saying that then. Anything that you can point to that is lacking with the Cleveland Browns, even with the offensive line, have we not lamented at times how Baker Mayfield held on to the ball a little bit too long? How, you know, he was sitting there and trying to make plays and ultimately was making boneheaded plays from time to time, or the requisite throws that you see a lot of guys with rifle arms being capable of making. He wasn't that guy capable of making. I'm simply saying he's not a scrub. He's a former number one overall pick who, as far as I'm concerned, can play. He's got a lot of guts. I love listening to him in press conference. I think his honesty and candor should be applauded. I think the way he handled the Odell Beckham Jr. situation, when Odell Beckham Jr.'s father put that video out about him, I thought he was completely in the right. I respect the hell out of Baker Mayfield. He's not a scrub. Right. But at the end of the day, when you look at teams and you say to a team, all of that talent surrounding these guys, I've said this before. What do you look at when you look at the Cleveland Browns? It comes back to Baker Mayfield. All of those questions that you throw out there, as legitimate as they are, because they are legitimate, it still brings us back to Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
He's not that guy when you're talking about competing for a Super Bowl. Not yet, anyway. He's not that guy.
Yeah, three things, Stephen A. My job is not to tell people what's happening. My job is to tell people why and how things are happening.
I agree.
So I'm always going to point to reasons why quarterbacks aren't playing well or they are playing well and why that is happening outside of strictly just the quarterback.
Okay.
That's kind of one of the things I got into media for. There's a difference between Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback ever and everybody else stinks.
That's right.
My second thing would be this. In relation to, like, did you think two years ago that Jimmy Garoppolo was good enough to lead the San Francisco 49ers to the Super Bowl?
I did not.
Okay, so 3 years ago, did you think that Jared Goff was good enough to lead the Rams to a Super
Bowl? Hell no.
So 4-5 years ago, did you think that Nick Foles was good enough to lead the Philadelphia Eagles to the Super Bowl?
Well, the way he was playing in the postseason, yeah.
But when Carson Wentz went down, the way he was playing,
based on his work that we witnessed, yeah, because even the work leading up to Super Bowl appearances on the part of Goff, all right, and who else did you mention a couple of years
Jimmy
ago?
G. I'm sorry.
Jimmy G. No, even a work leader, because Jimmy G, as far as I'm concerned, did nothing in the playoffs. He rode the coattails of his team and got to the Super Bowl. Jared Goff was riding the coattails of the team. But in the case of Nick Foles, he was balling leading up to the Super Bowl. He really did lead them to the Super Bowl. He didn't ride coattails.
So when Carson Wentz went down in the subsequent 2 or 3 week period afterwards, you were saying, because Philadelphia was the one seed, and you were saying Nick Foles can win a Super Bowl with them?
No.
So that's my point, that there's that group of 8 or 10 guys.
Okay.
There's 5 guys on the planet that no matter what, there's that group of 8 or 10 guys that people might sit there and go, he's not a franchise quarterback, or no, he needs, those guys, if you give them a good offense and a good play caller and a good offensive line and good pieces around them, then that guy can take you to a Super Bowl and be a reason that you can win a Super Bowl. You didn't think that about Jimmy G. You didn't think that about Nick Foles. You didn't think about Jared Goff.
But listen to your words. You said they can be a reason you go to the Super Bowl. Remember, Molly's here as an eyewitness, all right? Yeah. Even though she can be Benedict Arnold at times, she'll stand up for me in this regard. How many times was she and other people raving about Jimmy G? Yeah. And I said, you got to go through 4 people before you even think about Jimmy G. You got to go to George Kittle, the defense, the Bolton and the boys, and Bruckner and the boys, Kyle Shanahan.
But he wasn't losing games.
I understand that. Right. I'm not talking about what I said. I'm talking about what I was saying.
Yeah.
I was pointing to the fact that Jimmy G wasn't even a priority when you thought about the San Francisco 49ers. I said the same thing about Jared Goff. In the case of Nick Foles, even though we obviously had questions once Carson Wentz went down, at the end of the day, when we watched his actual performance, he was the reason the Eagles went to the Super Bowl and won it.
Stephen A.
I'm not saying the only one, but he was a huge reason.
Listen to me. Hold on. Let me say one thing. Stephen A., you are the godfather of debate. We know this, right? But come on, when Dan was saying that, there is some credence to that argument. I was kind of like, Dan's got this debate this sweet science.
Credence
when
what?
He brought up all those names, it's a great point.
Come out. I didn't say it wasn't a great point, but I refute it because of what the point I just made. What you're thinking initially, fine, but ultimately I get to watch your work. If I'm looking at Jimmy Garoppolo and I'm looking at Jared Goff, they're not the reasons that those teams went to the Super Bowl.
But they didn't get in the way, Stephen A.
Correct.
Listen to me. When you look at Nick Foles, he was the reason he was balling. When we look at Baker Mayfield, he doesn't ball. He's aight.
But Stephen A.
All right, last minute here.
He's not balling.
Give me 30 seconds, Molly.
Yeah, do it.
First of all, his rookie year, he broke Peyton and Russell's rookie touchdown record. That quite literally is balling. His second year didn't play well. His second year didn't play well. Last year, 28 touchdowns, 9 picks, leads him to the playoffs and buries your Steelers.
We raved about him last year because he went from 21 interceptions down to 8. And he did well. And he did decent.
Since week 2. Dan, I'll tell you what. You gave me pause. You made me think. We'll leave it there, guys. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Quick takes. Let's get it. Big news in baseball, Stephen A. Major League Baseball, the MLBPA failed to reach a new labor agreement, resulting in the league's first lockout since 1990. Stephen A., how bad is this for baseball?
This is very, very bad. And I'm going to tell you why. Because we all know that Major League Baseball has diminished in the eyes of fans compared to the National Football League and the National Basketball Association. And so if you remember in 1994, the cancellation of the World Series, fans turned away from the sport. And it took Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa's single-season home run chase of Roger Maris's record to really resurrect the sport. Now, yep. We all know the steroids era and all of that stuff came in the aftermath with Barry Bonds and beyond and all of that stuff. But in the end, 1998 was pivotal to resurrect the sport. People were disgusted. And this older fan base that has never gotten younger, really, for the most part, from my understanding, the bottom line is this. You don't need a lengthy lockout. I'll tell you that much. People accept it now because it ain't baseball season anyway.
Yeah.
But once spring training is supposed to open and you're supposed to get the ball rolling and have some stuff happening, if you got a lockout going on there and games are missed, you're talking about a younger generation you're still struggling to ingratiate yourself with.
Absolutely.
And if this lasts for any long period of time, you're jeopardizing the health of the sport. So my advice to owners and baseball, the baseball players union and stuff like that, this ain't the good old days where you had the fans in the palm of your hands. You almost messed things up in the mid-90s. You try that now with all the other options that people have. It'll cost you. You better reach a resolution.
Especially with the NBA getting younger and younger, and we're talking summertime,
right,
competing that same season.
That's right.